Hello, everybody. I think we're here finally. Man, I didn't think we'd have a show today. It's 12:30 on February the 4th, 2009. Let me just see if the other people got here. Jenny, are you back?
I'm here.
Congratulations. Jerry Albright, verbalsummary.com. Are you here?
Yeah, sound a lot better.
Oh, boy, everything's better. Sorry, everybody. We just had a crazy time. I just called him five times, and every time I was told I couldn't get through. Something's wrong with Blog Talk Radio, not the recruiting animal. I'm not going to do my introduction. I blew all those 5 minutes of shouting for nothing. Let's see who else is here. Area code 206, you want to say hi? No. Okay, area code 770. Want to say hi to Jenny?
That's me.
That's you, Jenny?
I think I'm 770, yeah.
Who's area code 678? It's also Atlanta. Okay. Don't say hi. I don't care. Jenny, let's get right down to business. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
Okay, you sound a little cool. Where are you shaking because it didn't go as planned?
No, I think it might have been a blessing in disguise.
I'm shaking, Jenny. I'm shaking.
I'm kind of freaking out.
You have to carry the show a bit. Yeah, I was going crazy pressing buttons. Nothing was happening. Have some pity on me, will you? Okay. Now, listen, I have to make a few points. We're going to bookmark a few things. Jerry Albright has something that he wants to complain about. I'm going to say what it is, and we'll come back to it later. He's really mad that all of
you. Not anymore. I'm over it.
Yeah, come on. You got me all worked up. You know what this reminds me of? I'm sorry. I had a friend, and his wife, you know, told him how awful her family treated her. And so when they got married, I mean, he went to visit them. And he wasn't nice to them. And then when he came home, she gave him hell for not being nice to the people she described as enemies. Now, you're pulling the rug out from under me. For some reason, that's what it reminded me of. Okay, I got other stuff to talk about. Sorry, people. It's a personal thing between me and Jerry. Now, I got another issue from my good friend, Joshua Letourneau. Jenny, don't worry. I'll get back to you. Josh says that recruiters who won't take the hard orders or the hardest orders, who don't say to their clients, you give me the tough stuff, they aren't worth their salt. You want to talk about that now, Jenny? Is that something of interest to you?
Sure.
Go ahead. Shoot. Do you agree with Josh or no?
I understand where Josh is coming from because he is an expert in our field and he likes to be challenged. However, I want to do the searches that's going to be the quickest point from A to point B.
Yeah. That's it?
So I don't need a challenge. I think early in my career, I liked the tough searches, but I didn't realize, like, how they deplete your energy, they deplete your resources. And at the end, maybe the client's high maintenance, it's not fine. You know, I really want to help the candidate, help the client the quickest way possible.
Okay, but so you don't want to help them with the tough stuff. Josh is in Atlanta. I'm wondering if that other 678 number is him. Area code 541 just came in. Do you want to say hi?
Hi, Animal. How are you doing? It's Eric.
Eric Gilson.
Yeah, I've been trying all morning to hear you.
Yeah, I had a problem too. Is it bluespeed.com? Is that your website?
Bluespeed.net.
Bluespeed.net. Area code 800. Want to say hi? You just called in.
Howdy, Animal.
Dr. Nick?
Yes, sir.
Nick from Spong.com. Nick Palmer, Spong.com, S-P-O-N-N-G.com. Okay, what else should we talk about? I'm so screwed up. Jenny, I was reading one of your Twitter postings. I thought I'd look at it. Okay, I'm going to talk about that.
Now, Jenny, you follow me and you know it.
You quoted a line from Marin Hogan, a servant is no more a slave than a leader is a manager. Apparently that appealed to you. I don't even know what it means. Do you? Does it just sound good?
I learn a lot from Marin, and I learn a lot from the chat room at recruitingblogs.com, shameless plug.
Were you paid to say that?
No, I was not. Maybe I'm trying to get a free pass to Recruit Fest.
I paid for Recruit Fest, just so everybody knows. I paid. Okay, so what does that mean? Do you have a meaning, or is it just poetry to you?
Yeah, I think it means, like, you can be a servant.
What does it mean? Help others.
You don't have to be their slave, and you just because you have the title of a manager does not make you a leader either.
Okay. Well, what's a leader and what's a manager? Any quick ones? Do you have a quick take on that? No. Okay. Anybody else want to comment before I go? It's a profound saying. A servant is no more a slave than a leader is a manager. I guess it means something to people in HR or recruiting. Dr. Nick, is that profound for you? You're a minister.
I think that it's just a way for people to feel good. It's a nice feel-good statement.
Yeah, you know what? Marin should start writing cards and stop making pronouncements on recruiting blogs. Now, that's Jerry's problem. He said there's a lot of know-nothings on recruitingblogs.com
Sounding
off as if they're recruiters, as if they know what they're talking about, whereas an experienced guy like him knows better. And it's just making him sick to his stomach. That's what he wanted to say. Now he chickened out. Okay. He made up with whoever he was having a fight with.
No, and I'm not saying on recruiting blogs, and I didn't say Marin. I like Marin.
Oh, I didn't say Marin. No.
No, I didn't. You just said that I said Marin, and I did not.
Okay, I said that she shouldn't have said that. But anyway, let's go on. Okay, we got to start the show, Jerry. It's going downhill. I mean, it's 12:40 already.
It's going downhill. I'm now going to be banned from recruiting blogs. Thanks a lot, Animal.
Oh, you know what? That was real bad of me. I'm sorry. You know what? You call in this show, it's a little bit crazy. You got to pay the price. Jenny, let's get back to you, okay? You told me something that I found absolutely amazing. You have 13,000 connections on LinkedIn. You've only got a free account, and you've never run out of invitations. Tell me about that, please.
Yes, I have 13,000 first-level contacts, and I got those contacts by networking, helping others, sending out invites. I did not get those contacts by sending out emails asking people to invite me to their network. So
yeah,
I'm a real big proponent.
Everybody knows I hate them.
Yeah, LinkedIn etiquette. I mean, it's something you have to learn. I think there's the rule of thumbs you have to learn in recruiting that you don't learn until you're 2 or 3 years into it. And, LinkedIn etiquette. I've never run out of invites and, I have to reply to those people and say, if you run out of invites, you just ask customer service. They will give you more invites. So.
Is that true? Anybody know?
Yes.
It is true.
But do you know anyone who's got more invitations just by calling up? Is it that easy?
You email, yes.
And you know that they have gotten the invitations. Jenny, listen to me. Do you know people who've got over 3,000 invitations?
I know people who have run out. I don't know what amount they ran out of. And who
okay,
have received 3,000 more invitations.
Jenny, listen to me.
Yeah.
You get 3,000. If you send out 3,000, you run out. Is it easy to get more? Do you know anyone who's got more?
Yes, I do know people that have gotten more.
Okay. Is that settled? Am I being too hostile, Jenny?
No, let's just move on to the next question.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was on LinkedIn yesterday, and I was surprised to see they've got something new going on there. I want to rant about this a bit. If you do a search, you can only look at the first 100 people in the search. It wasn't a problem for me in the end because it just made me refine my searches. So I assume I might have got to all the people by searching them under different terms. Is that a problem for you or anybody else who's on right now?
It hasn't been a problem for me.
It's not a problem for me.
Yeah, you don't use LinkedIn, Jerry, do you?
You sure do.
Oh, you do?
I just browse around on it.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't really use it. Do you use it heavily for your work, Jenny?
Yes, absolutely.
Jenny, we haven't even introduced you. I mean, I was so confused. This is Jenny Devon. And, Devon is a confusing name. Sometimes it's got a H-A-N at the end, and sometimes yours is just an N, right? People get it wrong all the time, don't they?
Yes.
Okay.
You related to Vince Devon?
No.
It's her husband. No, not really. Okay, Jenny, and you want to give us your title? Who are you, Jenny?
I'm a third-party recruiter based in Atlanta that helps my clients find the best candidate for their open positions.
You got one of my pet peeves going there, Jenny. That is a pronoun meant for things. You're a who helps. Who is for people. You're a third-party recruiter who helps your clients find people, but not the hardest people they're trying to find. Is that right?
Sometimes it's the hardest people are trying to find, but I prefer that it's not.
Okay. Jenny, you were a little more spunky when you called me last week. And we
That's how this was advertised, spunky third-party recruiter.
Yeah.
He was a little bit more open-ended questions with me. He's this is more cross-examination. He was a little bit more open-ended question with
me.
Hey,
don't tell
me
you never listened to the Recruiting Animal Show before. Let's move on, Jenny. I'll calm down. I just I get worked up very
easily. You're frazzled.
Look at the trials I had just getting on the show. Now, you told me that one of your strengths as a recruiter, and I upset Jerry, it's on my mind now, one of your strengths is that you're kind of tough yourself, And by that I mean that you understand the business element in a business relationship. I'm going to quote you. Is that all right?
Sure.
This is what you said to me. You said, look, Animal, I'm not here to sing Kumbaya and help the candidates find a job. And you also told me, scared money never wins. Say what you really think. Be who you are, even if they don't agree with you, because if you're squirming in your seat, I can't remember the end of the sentence, do you?
No.
If you're squirming in your seat, you're not going to win. That's what it means, whatever it was you actually said. How does that play out on the job? I want you to tell me that's one of your strengths. Tell me how it makes you money.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to properly qualify a job order, a client, or even a candidate. And I can help a candidate with referrals. I can refer them to somebody else, but I can't spend all my time helping people that I cannot place. And I can't spend my clients' candidates that do not fit the bill of what they've asked me for, especially in this market, because they will find another recruiter who can.
Okay. So does that sometimes generate controversy? You'll have a candidate who says, I can do this job, I'm good for this job, and then, you know, when you interview the person, you really see that he or she isn't. Is that something you have to deal with?
Yeah, and it's tough, but you have to be honest without being rude. And
so
explain.
Tell us how. Give us an example. Give us an example.
Oh, I had a job I just placed was the treasurer with the Georgia Department of Transportation, and they wanted candidates with government funding experience. And I had a candidate tell me he had government funding experience, and when I asked him about it and got a little technical on him, he didn't have government funding experience. He had somebody on his team that had government funding experience.
Did you call him a liar?
No, that'd be rude.
He was, right? He was.
He was embellishing.
What did you say to him?
Think is lying.
What did you say to him, Jerry? Come on, this is interesting now.
I understood his predicament, but he's out. I can't present him to the client.
I want to know what words you said.
I said basically what I just said to you. I said, you know, my client is asking for this requirement. I'm at the mercy of the client, is a phrase I like to use all the time. And if I don't present them the right thing or the right characteristics that they're looking for, I'm not going to be able to present candidates to them, and I might lose my job.
Mm. And what did he
and I don't
say
run my own firm. I have a boss I have
say?
To support to. So.
What did he say?
He said he understood. He said, you know, he thought he might be able to squeak by, or, you know, he appreciated my time.
And did
you know,
you
I refer him to other stuff. I connect him with people on LinkedIn. I do introduction all the time for people. You know, I try to help him in other ways. I just can't present him for this opportunity.
Okay, but you didn't give him a warning then. You didn't say, watch out, buddy, I got your number now, right?
No, there's no reason to do that.
Okay, so there's a key phrase there that this is the one thing. It's a bit of learning. I always have to tell people there's a bit of learning. Here's a key phrase that you use. I'm at the mercy of my client. Is that right? Is that what you just said?
That's right. I use that phrase all the time.
Jerry, what do you think? Is that a good phrase?
Sure, I'm going to try it. I like it.
Anybody else? Anybody else like that who's on? Dr. Nick, you're a religious guy. Mercy. You're in the mercy.
sometimes, yeah, definitely.
Should she use that? I think it's good because it makes you seem to be the victim instead of them. Don't hurt me.
Yeah, I just shared it with my entire office. Thanks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
I think I was going to sweep
Eric.
The industry.
Oh, Eric. So Eric liked it too. Good for you.
Yes.
It's going viral.
It's viral. It's gone viral. I'm at the mercy of my client. Please don't hurt me. Okay. Now, Jenny. Jenny, you told me. Now you're sorry you spoke to me. But you told me that you're glad you went into legal recruiting first because you said the standards for candidates are exceptionally high, and this taught you to always find the best candidate. Now, what does that mean exactly? Can you tell us? Start off with legal recruiting, and then tell us how you choose the best candidate, whereas you might not have otherwise.
Sure. I was very lucky to begin in a firm in legal recruiting because our clients expect the best, whether that be specifics on education, years of experience, personality, demeanor, vocabulary level. I mean, legal recruiting is very hard because even if you had the right candidate on paper, 9 times out of 10, they weren't the right candidate. So
you
want to
find something, Jenny?
Yeah.
Jenny? I'm trying to be friendlier to make you feel more comfortable as a guest. I know you're in the hot seat, and I know you're a bit nervous, but I'm going to disagree with you. I've done some legal recruiting. It was the easiest recruiting I'd ever done. I placed the assistant general counsel with Ontario Hydro.
That's in-house. That's in-house. That's not in a law firm. It's a completely different monster.
Okay.
It's in-house. And you're talking in Atlanta. Atlanta's a different – I'm talking specifically to the legal recruiting in Atlanta. And I'm talking about billers that you've never heard about that I've learned from. I mean, these people build millions and millions of fees every year, and you don't even know their names.
Right.
I mean, I was lucky to learn from
this. They don't have radio shows.
They don't go to recruitingblogs.com. They don't have a LinkedIn account. They don't do any of this stuff. It's all business.
I'm going to tell you, Jenny, because legal here, at least I think in the States, it's the same thing. They publish directories with every lawyer who's in the bar is on that. You don't have to do any sourcing.
They do,
right?
But you don't know their book of business, and you don't know what the relationships and the politics within the firm are. I mean, those are things you have to navigate around. But that's
the whole
story. Yeah,
that's what you find out after you call the person, though. But you don't have any trouble finding the person. Am I right?
Sometimes when you're looking for, like, an IP legal secretary, those people aren't listed. You've got to really
talk to them. Oh, a legal secretary is not a lawyer, okay? That's different.
But that's still legal recruiting.
Okay. I'm in agreement with you there. Okay. Does anybody have a question? Just so I can calm down, I'm being so mean to Jenny. Anybody
it's hard
want
to squeeze this all. It's hard to squeeze the whole hour into a half an hour. I think that's you,
no,
you're
no, it's an hour. I booked an hour. Don't worry, Jerry. Don't
okay,
worry.
All right. Then
otherwise,
great.
I'd be talking faster.
Jenny, what kind of people do you recruit? I mean, what do you do?
Oh, my nickname in the firm I'm in right now is Bring It On Devon, which is really corny. But basically, I do the searches that no one else wants. So our firm is niche in HR and recruiting, but I do the executive searches that really don't fit in our niche, but that we can't really say no to because, A, it's good business. We like the client. We like the relationship we have. B, it's usually retained search. And in this market, I mean, those are just golden nuggets, manna from heaven, retained search. So we
Sounds
just
good.
Have to do this.
Okay, so you're a generalist then. Am I right, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, now what I've learned on the Recruiting Animal Show is that all the big billers have niches, just like Jerry. Jerry's got a niche. He's been
I
building
agree.
I'm not claiming
I'm a big biller, though.
No, you're not, Jerry.
No, you make thousands of placements annually, Jerry.
I'm a medium biller.
I believe Jerry is a big biller. I believe Jerry
is
a modest genius. He acts a bit like Billy Carter, but he's really very sharp. Okay? So,
well, I did just have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
With a beer? Anyway, so my point is here that you just agreed with me that people who make the most money work in a niche, but you've defined yourself or branded yourself as Bring It On Devon. Why the contradiction? Are you a martyr?
Well, the nickname came from my boss, so I can't take credit for that. But I do believe if you recruit in a niche, you will make more money. You will be better than those who try to do what you do. You will get the candidates faster because you've already built the relationship because you're already sitting in the niche.
Right. So why aren't you doing that?
Because I'm not in it for the money right now. I know.
Why are you in it? You just told
me. I'm in it because I have a passion for it, and I'm in it because it's supplemental income for me and my family right now. I'm in it because I've built up such a large network that I want to leverage it and keep it active. But I have a 2-year-old, I have an 8-month-old. I'm not in it to be, you know, Robert Half Employee of the Year. That's not why I'm in it anymore. I used to be in it for that reason, but I'm not.
Uh-huh. Okay, now what we're talking about networking there, you said you built up a big network. Now, I notice that you're involved with a lot of associations, the American Cancer
mm-hmm.
Society, Relay for mm-hmm. Life, the Society for Human Resources Management Professionals. You were the Executive Vice President for Member Services, or you are right now, right?
Yeah, yep.
And then you were the chair, or you are the chair of the Networking Committee of the Atlanta Chapter of the Society for Human Resource Management Professionals, and you're in the Professional Women's Information Network of Atlanta. You're in the National Association of Asian American Professionals, and you're also a member of the Technology Association of Georgia. Do you want to explain the logic behind that? How do you manage it, and what do you get out of it?
Absolutely. I like to go to those meetings because a lot of the speakers and presentations I get to learn from, and I like networking with folks at those meetings because usually it helps me with my placements.
Like what?
Well, CIRM Atlanta has 2,400 members in it. It's the largest HR professional organization in the Southeast. So by being one of 7 EVPs who report to the president, I have access to a lot of different things that other recruiters or third-party vendors, let's say, wouldn't have.
Are you placing HR people?
Yes, that's our firm's niche, is HR recruiting.
Oh, that's your niche. Okay, great. So that's
very
good.
Which is
very
slow right now in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Very slow.
And how many hours a week do you have to put into the society?
It's an average of maybe 2 to 7. Just depends if there's meetings or not.
Plus
but I have the time to do that now, Animal. I have plenty of time to do that right now.
Okay, and these other associations as well, you got plenty of time there, right?
Absolutely. But I make it quality time. I don't go there and sit in a corner. I go there and I interact and I meet people and I try to help others and connect.
Okay, now you're also, I told you I was going to ask this question. I'm not leading in the wrong. You're a member of the National Association of Asian American Professionals. What's that?
Yes. It is an organization that caters to the Asian American community, and basically we try to help young professionals in the Asian American community in Atlanta grow and develop their careers.
Like new immigrants? Is that who you're talking about?
Some people in the group are. Some people, maybe they're 2 or 3 years into their career. Maybe they're 8 years into their career, but maybe they've only targeted the Asian community or they haven't learned all the nuances of corporate America. So there's a lot of different learning that takes place. It's a broad spectrum of folks.
And do you place any of those people?
I have not placed any of those people yet.
Okay.
But I have had a few new clients.
Oh, you have? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyone else want to ask some questions about the volunteer associations? Does anyone find that interesting?
Probably not. They're probably sleeping now.
Yeah, maybe they are. I found it interesting. Okay.
Well, I actually have to agree because I spend most of my free time working with different volunteer organizations in my area to develop community and make those connections. And as a result of it, you know, you end up developing such a strong base and a like-mindedness with the other people that you can draw on them for any other reasons, including recruiting or placements or clients, like Jenny just said. You know, it's a great way to grow and develop both your skills and your network.
Okay, even though you're not a recruiter, you're one of the guys that Jerry was mad at. Jerry's mad at.
You're one of the people I hate and want to kill?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're talking about networking in general. That if you lose your job and you know you need some money, you can go to your network then maybe and get some money from them or some other favors, right? They might consider you for a job. Okay.
Well,
anyway, Jenny, you said you don't I'm just going to throw some questions at you. You said you don't differentiate between active and passive candidates. Now, the buzz for a few years online has always been about how do you get passive candidates? Active candidates are looked down upon. Want to explain your position?
Absolutely. I know that there's a difference between active and passive. I'm not denying that. I think it's ridiculous and a time waster to argue over it. And I've seen so many recruiters get in chat rooms and they start arguing or they start an ERA string and they start arguing about active and passive. It really doesn't matter. It's timing and who you have available when you have an order and who's ready to be presented. And to me, the argument is placeable candidate versus non-placeable candidate.
Okay, but if the most placeable candidates are candidates you telephone source and are therefore passive, or you discover, you know, by some other means, being a member of an association, for instance, then passive is going to be significant if it's a better source. Do you believe that one source is better than the other for placeable candidates?
I don't define my candidates by passive or active again. I define them by the sources
from. So you don't know. You've never kept track of the fact whether passive candidates are better than active, because that's a legitimate question.
I think it's a legitimate question. Mm-hmm. However, when I'm in a search, I'm not going to sit there and go, okay, is Joe Smith really active or passive? No. Are they placeable? Do they fit the requirements of the rec, and can I present? Do I have their permission to present them to my client? That's really all that matters.
Listen, you told me that you're not that interested in job boards,
Technical difficulties, no.
Yeah. You're not that interested in job boards, which is the primary source of active candidates. Am I right?
I am not interested in job boards. I don't even have access to Monster Career Builder, and when I did in my past, I really use it for referrals. or
okay, you're going to have to explain that to us in a minute. Let's talk about referrals in a minute. Now, let's talk about, so if you're not using the job boards, what are your sources then for candidates? Maybe you are looking exclusively for passive candidates, and you're just, you know, imagining that you don't differentiate between
I use LinkedIn, and I use my own professional network to find candidates.
Okay.
And then the firm I work for, we have a database of HR candidates that we always pull from. So,
you know, the HR Association, I've done HR recruiting as well. The HR Association of Ontario lists almost all the HR people in their membership. So you pay $300, you get a membership. Is that the kind of database you guys have?
We don't use that database. 9 times out of 10, because of my volunteer involvement in Sherm Atlanta, I know the person. So I can just call them up and ask them, okay, you might not be interested, but who else do you know that might qualify for this job, or, you know, what other associations are there in comp and benefits where I could find a senior level person like you, things like that. I'm going to call that expert, and I'm going to find out where they hang out, and I'm going to try to tap into that resource.
Okay,
I'm not
so going to
cold call through the Sherm Atlanta directory.
Okay, so that's another explanation of the value of networking, right? Anybody on the couch want to talk to Jenny? Here's your chance.
Cricket, sure thing.
I agree with her on the active-passive thing.
Thanks, Jerry.
I think it's absurd to... It's just an absurdity. That's all I have to say about it.
And candidates that are active today are passive tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
you know,
Jerry, for what it's worth, I'll send you a beer via Twitter. I owe you a beer.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, again, some of these experts out there that have made a living talking about how to uncover the passive candidates. And, you know, now they're the same people that are doing, you know, helping with SEO and helping – candidates find you. Well, we don't want that, right? We passive candidates wouldn't find you, right? Is that the case? So why?
Okay, yeah. You know, Jerry, you're boring. Listen, I want to say hi to Carrie Quash.
No, I am not boring.
I want to say hi to Carrie Quash. She just posted that she's listening to the Recruiting Animal show. Maybe the Cincy Recruiter as well. She was an excellent guest. I think I gave her a prize for that. Jenny, sorry, Jerry. Usually very interesting, but I didn't understand a word you were saying. Hold on, Jenny. We're coming to some other ones. Can you tell me about your social networking strategy, since I think you've got a separate one, or is it just an extension of your, you know, face-to-face networking?
Social networking is a way for me to connect with people that
Jenny,
I can't
Jenny,
meet
can
in Atlanta.
Jenny, can you step up a bit? You know, I said you were spunky. Don't make me look like a fool, okay?
I am spunky.
Jump up and down or dance in your chair. I don't know what you have to do, but, you know, liven it up. You were really hot when I spoke to you the other day.
I am spunky. I think you were asking me different questions.
I'm feeding you back the answers you gave me, the exact same things we talked about. Did the kids refuse to go to sleep last night? Is that the problem?
No, my children are wonderful. They're good sleepers.
Okay, they're good sleepers. Go ahead. Are you sure? Are you from Atlanta originally? You don't have an accent.
No, I was
there.
Born and raised in Iowa, and I'm half Korean, and then I've lived in Atlanta for 7 years now.
Yeah, you don't sound Korean. That's why I wondered. You're a member of an ethnic association, but you seem like to be a regular person.
I'm recruiting radio show right now, but
Korean people are regular people too, Animal. Korean people are regular people too.
Oh, you know what I mean. A regular like my father's an immigrant, but I'm not. You know what I mean? So that's what I meant. Okay. I believe that different groups have needs sometimes to establish organizations, but I was curious about why there was a special need, and I don't know if you answered the question well, but it's not a really significant one. So let's pass on. So you told me that you use Twitter to brand yourself personally. What does that mean exactly?
Twitter is just a way for me to put out little phrases, ideas, articles that I find interesting to connect with other people that may or may not find those same things interesting. Because my boss does not believe in blogs, so I cannot have a blog. We're really not allowed to blog.
Is your boss listening to this show? Should I watch what I say about him or what?
No, absolutely. I don't think he's listening, and he trusts me or he wouldn't have hired me.
Is he foolish? Why doesn't he want a blog? What's the story there?
He just doesn't believe in it, and I really try to convince him to
believe in it. What does that mean, Jenny? Come on.
Some people don't believe in Twitter. What does that mean? They don't believe in it. They think it's a time waster. They don't think it would bring them business. They don't think.
Okay, so he thinks. Does he think it's just going to waste your time, or that you're going to expose company secrets?
Maybe both.
Okay. Well, what you do on your own time should be your own business. I don't know how he can, make a decision like that. Anyway, Twitter's almost the exact same thing. So you're putting out little statements by Marin Hogan, right, instead of recruiting
yes.
tips. And I think Marin is a social media savant, okay? I
yes.
gave her a prize. So even if she says something poetic like that and I don't like it, that wasn't an insult, okay? Just I'm protecting myself when I'll go back there as well. So let's take a step back. So you're just playing it forward. When you see little cute things like that or little tips, you put it out there so people will think Jenny's a nice person. Is that right?
Yeah, I really want to start a chain reaction of good deeds. I want to put something out there, and hopefully it'll help somebody, and it'll just start that chain reaction. Because I know it'll come back to me eventually, but I have to put it out there.
How's it going to come back to you?
It comes back to me through candidate referrals. It comes back to me through another article. It comes back to me through a direct message when somebody said, hey, that was really cool. I like that, you know.
Those direct messages, they pay a lot of money. Hold on a second. We've got our chaplain. The show chaplain is on today. Dr. Nick?
Sir?
Do you have any comments about this play it forward thing on Twitter? It's going to come back good for her? Is that true?
Well, I don't know about on Twitter, but in terms of, you know, the universe in general, yeah, that I believe that that's true. It's the law of magnetic. You know, you believe something,
it's not necessarily true. Okay. And does that make you a nicer person if you want something good to happen to you, or should you be totally disinterested? And that lack of interest is actually going to be spiritually liberating and make you happy. We don't have to get into that, okay?
I think you have to do things that are genuine. You have to play to your
strength. We'll have another show. Kerry
Quass,
thanks for the
then.
Shout-out. Kerry Quass. What's the name of her? Sorry, I'm a member of her social network, but I'm a member of so many. I'm not active. CoolWorks. CoolWorks.com. Is that it? Put it on Twitter, and I'll announce it, Kerry. Sorry, I invited Kerry a long time to be a guest. Jenny, I'm talking over you. Did you say something?
Not important.
Jenny, I'm having so much fun with you here today, but I don't think you're having fun. You're making me feel bad. Don't do that.
I am having fun. I want to ask you a question, though.
Oh, well, I might not answer, but go ahead.
Animal, when is the last time you cried?
Do you know what? In the summertime. And I don't want to go into any details, but or maybe it was in October. Okay? So
okay,
there you go.
And what is the biggest misconception about you?
Biggest misconception? Did I know everybody? I won't say. Someone said, do you know about, started asking me if I know people in a bunch of different American cities that she could get in touch with. I don't know anybody almost. If I was going to pass Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'd stop in and see Jerry, but I don't know many people. Okay, so enough. Who's got their office going on there? Please.
Not me.
Jenny's on the phone, okay? Now, candidate red flags, Jenny. Candidate red flags.
Now, here's what they're doing. They're completely overhauling their site.
Is that
you, Aaron? Okay.
Let's listen.
Yeah, they're overhauling their I'm going to have to cut somebody off. You know, I'll mute the stuff. That's
who
what I'll do
it?
Until it.
Good. Regardless.
Okay. We want to know who it is.
That's
I don't
Eric's
know. It might
office.
Be Eric. Whose office, Eric?
No, yeah, not mine.
No?
Okay. Jenny, sorry. I don't want to lose my audience more than I am. Okay. So, Jenny, candidate red flags.
They're just wanting to tap our
Yeah.
Desk.
Hey, Eric, get off the phone.
Sure.
Get off the phone.
It's not me.
Who is it?
Is it Nick?
No.
No. I'm going to – maybe it's Erico 212. Hold on. I'm going to put him on mute and see what happens. Oh, better. Okay?
Good.
Okay. So, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, it's coolworks.com. That's Kerry Quass. She's got a big network. All these networks are growing. They've all got more listeners than I do. Anyway, candidate red flags.
I wonder
you
why.
Said don't waste time with losers, right? But you told me when you started out you wanted a placement so bad that you were willing to fantasize that people were better than they really are. Like when this person tried to deceive you in your early days, You might not have gone for the jugular right away. Is that true, or want to elaborate
That's
on that?
True.
Maybe?
When I first started, I would try to make candidates be something they're not, and I would try to, go to the client and, you know, plead to them their case, and, you know, they jumped around because of this and that, and you know, whatever it was in their job history that the client didn't like. And when I got more mature in my recruiting experience, I learned that I have to minimize the risk when I present candidates to clients. And it's almost like dating. You know, it's true. I recruited my husband off Match.com, and he was the only person I met or gave my number to, and we're happily married. We have two kids now. But, you know, I did not go out with the people that I knew weren't even close or didn't fit all my requirements or that I didn't have that chemistry or fit with. So I often tell people, you know, just think about that. Don't waste your time with those people and dig through the red flags, see those concerns, and diffuse the landmine before it blows up in your face, because it will. And then you'll have a ruined relationship with the client.
Yeah, I want to ask for an example of a time it's blown up in your face. But first, how do you tell people now, listen, you moved around too much. I don't think you're a good candidate for me. How do you say that without hurting their feelings?
Or
you worry about it.
It's so tough. Usually I like to do that face-to-face, but if I can't, you know, I explain to them, you know, listen, I don't know why, and it's not fair, and I didn't create this role. But for some reason, job stability is highly valued by employers now. And I know that you've made a couple moves in your last three or four jobs in the last 2 years, and this is a characteristic. For whatever reason, maybe the last person in this role had the same situation, and they hired him, and they didn't work out. So now the client's thinking if they hire somebody with similar characteristics, the same thing's going to happen. But I'm really sorry, I can't present you. And what I would tell you to do is probably maybe start an attempted perm job where people can see that you're not a flake. They can see you work, and, you know, maybe it'll work out for you into a permanent offer.
She's good.
I like the way you deliver that.
I love it.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I like
Jerry.
It. I'm here. I'm saying that was very, very good. I like it.
Yeah,
I'm going to use
good.
It. Yeah.
Very good. And so, and when do they protest, or do they roll over once you say that?
No, they know. I'm genuine. I think you got to use it in your own words, and you got to talk to them like I would talk to my brother or sister. And I often say that. I say, this is what I tell my sister if she was sitting across from me. This is what I tell my brother if he was sitting across from me.
Does your sister
like you? Oh, yeah. I'm very close to my family.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My sister doesn't need me. She's got the brains of the family.
Some people don't like it when you tell them the truth, and they protest. Don't you notice that, Jenny?
It's how you tell them, and it's when you tell them. And you, if you're coming from a good place, and you are coming from a good, confident place, like, I control the talk. I have good candidate control. I have it from start to the finish. If you don't have that, then
that
of course
mean?
they're gonna grill you and go all over
what
you.
What does candidate control really mean, Jenny?
Oh, no.
I know what it means. I know what it means. I'll answer the question. You tell me if I think I'm right. You're just a tough cookie. You're willing to say no, no, no. And so if they want to lead you around by the nose, you don't let it happen right from the start. And if they get upset, tough luck. That's candidate control, isn't it?
I don't burn bridges, though. There's a different. Candidate control is different to me because I do not burn bridges. Because I want referrals from that person because I've actually, if I spend 5 minutes of time with that person, I expect a referral down the road. So I want to make sure that relationship stays warm. So if I need a referral from that person, I can come back to them. Because they actually know me.
Man, you are incredible. I think we're really tapping into something now. We got a little time here. I'm so impressed, Jenny. You want a referral from someone you reject. Is that true?
More referrals from silver medalists, meaning a candidate that was up against another candidate of mine that didn't get the offer. I get more referrals from silver medalists than from people I place.
Yeah, but hold on
because
a second.
Because losers remember you.
A job hopper is not a silver medalist. Am I right?
In most of my cases, no. But the silver medalist remembers how you treated them when they didn't get the offer. They remember that you were nice to them and you didn't get a dime of commission. They remember what you tried to do to help them with their resume or their interviewing skills or their appearance or whatever it may be. And they are more likely to give me a referral than the person that got the job. Because the person that gets the job, unfortunately, thinks they got it on their own. They got it by interviewing. They got it by being there.
Man, that's
I only connected
that's a little
them.
Nugget, eh? Very interesting, Jenny. Congratulations. That's a gold star. You got a few gold stars already today. Does that make you feel better? Listen.
No, because it's not over yet.
Listen,
there's still
Jenny,
time to crash
come on,
and burn.
You're way tougher. In fact, let me just chastise someone. Peggy McKee, she said that I was a pussycat just before you came on the show. Maybe that bugged me. You think so? Okay. So
I hope so.
So if you're having some problems with me, just blame it on her. Okay? @salesrecruiter on Twitter. Send her a note. Now listen, Jenny, for a second, I have to tell you something. You're a bit fast-footed, and that means slippery. So I'm sure you're a good salesperson, because a minute ago you told us that if you spend 5 minutes with somebody, you want to get a referral from that person. And then a second later, you said, You want to get, you get more referrals from silver medalists. Silver medalists sounds to me like the number two candidate in a job where you shortlist three people. Number two, he still likes you because you got him out there for three interviews and or whatever, right? Someone
mm-hmm.
else beat him for whatever reason, you know, to a tiny bit more experience or whatever. But let's be specific there. When you're given all this advice and they know you're not getting paid, that sounds like it's people who aren't really in the running for a job. Can you clarify what you mean there?
What I mean is when I spend 5 minutes with somebody, if I have face-to-face time with them, I'm going to build a good enough relationship within that time frame to hopefully down the road get a referral from them, whether or not I present them to a client.
So how would you
but
go about later on getting a referral?
Where I get more of my referrals from people that, again, were put up for a position,
yep.
did not get offer, made it to, like, the final round, didn't get the offer, were the second in line, the runner-up. And those people, for whatever reason, are usually more willing to help me than the actual person I placed.
Okay, I heard that already. I'm asking another question. Listen
to me,
Jenny.
That's what you're asking
me. Yeah. Okay, well, just tell me this. How do you go back and get the referral? What words do you use? You're very good at giving us your exact lines.
Yeah. I stay in touch with those people via email, and I always send them things that they might be interested in. So I have a list, my email list, of candidates who are currently job-seeking in the Atlanta market, 9 times out of 10, and I will forward them networking activities. I'll forward them job seeker groups. I'll forward them job leads through RSS feeds that I get, things that I know could help them, and they remember that. And it's very quick because it's email. It's not on the phone. It's not in person. It's just a quick email that I can send them.
And how much
Jenny,
time
what
do you spend doing this? Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
Jenny,
it's
Eric, but what do you do to increase the accuracy of the referrals that you get? Instead of saying, well, here's my brother that lives in Chicago who's working on diesel engines. He needs a job. You know, that's
when
an extreme example.
When I have a specific rec, that's a good question, Eric. When I have a specific rec in my email signature, and right now I think I have about 50 email signatures, and I got this idea from Eric Jaquith, who is a phenon. If you ever get a chance to have Eric Jaquith do training at your corporation or your firm or wherever you are or one-on-one, it's worth every single penny. But Eric's a good friend of mine. I'm very lucky to have him in Atlanta. But anyway, he taught me email signatures. So if I need specific referrals, at the bottom I'll say, and by the way, I'm looking for, you know, whatever the rec may be, maybe an HR manager in the Kentucky area. If you know anybody there, if you have any resources, even something that you think might not even help me, throw it my way. And 9 times out of 10, they're gonna help me in some way. And they might, and I'll list the competitors. I'll do all the work for them, right? I won't say a competitor of the company might help too. I'll list them so that I'm doing all the work for them. So all I have to think about is, my friend's husband used to work at IBM. Maybe Jenny might be interested in talking to that person. I mean, I really spell it out. I assume all people are stupid when I send them an email signature.
And you include a title and what type of firms these people would be coming out of. I'm assuming you're not including a job description.
No, I include like a little mini blurb. Just the titles,
sure.
other like it's like my title is bogus. It's senior talent consultant. What the hell is that?
Right.
So I might say, you know, I'm looking for a recruiter, somebody that would hire. You know, I put it in black and white.
Okay.
And it depends. And I have one that is more for executive people. I have all these different signatures. It's hard to explain, but one's more for executives, tailored to how they might speak. One's more mid-management, lower-level candidates, you know, entry-level candidates.
Okay, Jenny, let me a nice question, Eric, but let me ask something there about you calling it a signature. Is that what you put below your name at the bottom of every email? I'm looking for these people. Is that it, essentially?
No, I use signatures in a different way. Some people might call it an email template, but for me it's easier to use a signature. So my signature will have my contact information at the bottom, and
yeah.
then it will have an entire 3 or 4 paragraphs of information to that particular candidate about something. So
what I'm looking, so your name is at actually the top of the letter. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's at the bottom.
Okay, so let's just get this straight. You're sending this person a little tip. Is that what you're doing? And then
yes,
after your signature, just like I said, you
yes.
list the position, right?
Above everything, and then I list my contact information, like a normal signature. It looks like an email. It looks like a simple email, but it's actually,
yep.
it's already been written, and it's just a signature I choose. So one is like one of my signatures is titled Post Resume Response HR. So if somebody sends me the resume and I can't place them in HR, then I have a whole bunch of resources I give them. I have a whole bunch of things that they can do in Atlanta. I have a whole bunch of ways they can network with other people. And then I might insert what I'm looking for that they don't match with to get that referral, and then I'll put – and then at the bottom is my contact information.
And what if they call
it's
you up and say, I'm good for that job, and you don't think so? You give them
I'm
a lot
honest.
Of weeks.
I'm totally honest. I don't avoid it.
You say, have some mercy on me, pal. You're not good for this position, in your own words, of course.
Yeah, you build your credibility with that person. You have to know your worth. It's just like with fees. I don't lower the fees. You have to know your worth. If you don't know your worth, then you won't have candidate or client control. You'll lose
uh-huh.
it. You'll uh-huh. never get it.
So do you memorize the words before you go to bed? How do you do that? Are you practicing them on your kids? Or?
No, I learned from being in legal recruiting. I would definitely learn quickly what not to do because those partners don't give you any room for error.
Okay, they're those legal guys, they're mean, just like everyone says. Is that what you're saying?
They're not mean, they just...
They're
act,
tough. Area code
yeah.
919, you want to say hi to Jenny?
This is Dr. Ayesh from Raleigh, North Carolina. Greeting.
Greetings.
Hey.
Do you have something special to say to Jenny?
Yeah, I'm looking for people who's interested to become certified energy auditing across the states.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're a headhunter? You're a headhunter, doctor? Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
You're a headhunter?
What do you mean, headhunter?
Okay, enough, doctor. You don't understand the show, so let's put that on hold for a second. I have to interview Jenny. I thought you had a question for her about her recruiting technique. I'm going to move on. Thanks, doc, though. It was really nice speaking with you. Jenny, I got to talk to you a little more about other things. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Walk me through your day, Jenny. Walk me through your day.
Walk me through your day. My day begins with my kids. Take
okay.
them to childcare.
Oh. What time?
They have to be there by 9. So I'm very lucky.
What time do you get up, Jenny? What time you wake up? Are you a member
7:30.
Of the 6 o'clock club?
No, 7:30.
7:30?
I'm a night owl. Yeah.
Okay. And from 7:30 to 9, you're getting your kids ready, right?
Yes.
What time do you get to work?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. What do you do then? Starbucks, first thing?
No, absolutely not. I never have coffee in the morning. I just start doing email, responding to the list of things that are on priority. Usually the night before, I have a list of things to do, and usually my first things on my list or the activities are going to lead to placement. So whether that be scheduling interviews, calling back a client, getting interview feedback, whatever it might be, the activity that's going to lead to placement is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then probably emails, then probably referrals is next, then probably Twitter, LinkedIn, social networking. And
yep.
then in there might be scheduled already the candidate meeting, client meeting, networking activity.
Well, let me ask you a question.
So
let me interrupt.
So I'm doing a lot more networking.
You said you meet people face-to-face. Almost none of the people I've interviewed on the show actually meet people face-to-face because they work, you know, across the country or in a very
mm-hmm.
large region, and they don't insist that the people come to meet them. Is your operation different?
Yes. Most of the orders we work are in Atlanta, and it's so important to meet people face-to-face, especially now, because
uh-huh.
those senior executives that are out of work, that need your help, I take the time to meet them. A lot of recruiters aren't even responding to the resume, which is ridiculous. A lot of recruiters are just saying, no, I don't have time to meet with you. And
yep.
they should. That's
Why?
Their...
What's the advantage of meeting someone?
Because I'm planting the seed right now, and I'm building a relationship with someone, and so I can,
oh,
I'm
okay,
digging my well before
okay.
I'm thirsty.
And how long do you spend with these people?
Oh, coffee, usually 30 minutes.
Uh-huh. And how do you end the conversation?
Usually some follow-up. Usually I've referred some resource to them, and I say, you know what, when I get back to the office, I will email you the information we talked about.
Okay, so you don't bring them in to say, look, you know, I'm going to consider you for this job. You just bring them in and say, you know, perhaps you'd like to meet with me for the sake of the future?
Well, Animal, last year I was lucky. I only had time to meet people that I was placing. But right now it's reversed. I don't have the orders, so I need
to, what do
you
say
you know,
to them? What do you say to them when you bring them in? What's the reason for the meeting?
Oh, a lot of times they want to meet me. I know it's surprising because you've been on the phone with me for 45 minutes. Probably seemed like a lot longer, but sometimes they want to meet me.
I'm
they want to network
your with
me.
Jenny. I'm enjoying your conversation. Area code 4140. Want to say hi? 4040. Want to say hi to Jenny? No.
Old school Atlanta, huh?
Is that old school Atlanta? Okay,
that
listen,
is old
Jenny.
School Atlanta. Good job,
Jenny.
Jerry.
Make any,
I'm an area code guy.
Hold on a second. Do you call people for referrals on the phone, or do you just send out those emails?
No, I always call people for referrals on the phone. First on the phone. First.
What do you say?
If I'm calling somebody for a referral, it's usually a warm lead, or I try to make it warm via my LinkedIn research. So I will call them and I will say, hey, Bob, Joe Smith told me to call you. You'd be the go-to guy to find somebody that has HR experience in the San Francisco area. Who do you know in San Francisco that's in HR? And they might say, you know, you can think about it, you know, and I'm like, well, looking at your LinkedIn profile, it seems like you're involved in this group and this group and this group. Who runs that group? Where do you guys meet? Who's active in that group that I could talk to? Who's the person that kind of knows everybody in that group? And usually they'll give it to me. A lot
really,
of times
in
their profile,
I'll
compliment them. I'll compliment them, and then I also give them, like, the big sell of the job. So they feel like they're helping someone. I'll go, you know, you probably know someone that's looking right now. It's a really tough market out there, but this job pays, you know, $120,000. Can you believe it? And this company pays full benefits. Can you believe there's a company that still does it out there? Sure you found anybody that you might want to help today? They'll usually give me somebody or a name, or just to get me off the phone, they'll give me a name, and then I'll use that name to try to get somebody else to.
You know what? They're not. They never do anything nice to get me off the phone. They just say no.
I've never
Eric
had someone
Gilson.
Say no. I've had
this
so many.
Uh-huh.
I've never had someone say no. I've had them say I don't know, and then I keep digging and digging to them. Like they're different buckets to contact to try to find the right one. But usually they don't say no.
I hope your husband's a tough guy. I mean, it sounds like he's got his work cut out for him when he has a fight with you, Eric Gilson. Are you still with us?
I am.
Do you have a question about that? That sounds like your territory.
The who do you knows?
Yeah, the referral, getting people from referrals. I mean, you asked a question about how do you pin people down. Did she do that well here?
Yes. You know, another couple of nice little nuggets that I jotted down, and
that's great.
I agree. Yeah, I agree that you do get a lot of good referrals from that almost placed candidate because you get to walk them through the full life cycle, release
them
professionally.
Yeah, but the idea is to get referrals from people you don't know, just like she just explained. Sorry, I'm almost out of time. There's a few more questions I want to ask her. Sorry, Eric, to cut you off. Okay.
I would agree with Eric, though. I like getting referrals better from people that I know or that have worked with me because they're little cheerleaders for me. They're going to sell me better. They're going to say, Jenny's, you know, ethical. Jenny does what she says. You know, she's not going to lie to you about the job. She's not going to sugarcoat anything. I'd rather get a warm referral, just to back up, clarify.
You know, Jenny, you ought to be a fundraiser for a charity when you get out of this position. I mean, I can't see you taking a no answer. That's the thing. So let me ask you a question. Do you do any telephone sourcing, yes or no? Can you answer that?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Okay. Yes, you can answer it, or yes, you do?
Yes, I do, and yes, I can answer it.
Okay, so when you're telephone sourcing people, those are completely passive candidates. They don't know anybody that you know already. So you can't go in with, Bob told me that you're the go-to guy. So what do you say when you're cold calling those candidates?
Usually when I use telephone sourcing, it's for business development. It's not for candidate development. So when I'm telephone sourcing, I use LinkedIn, Hooters, to give me information on a company and their competitors. Thing I like to use when I do that is I'll call into a company. It's worked every single time I've used it in Atlanta. It might not work now, but it has in the past for me. Is I'll call the CEO of a company. Company whose name was S2, and they're an IT company that does point-of-sale systems. And I called into the CEO, and I said, hey, Paul, I really want to talk to you about Radiant Systems. Give me a call back. Left my name and number. He called me back within an hour because they're their main competitor. And I said, you know, Paul, I've done 6 placements already with Radiant Systems in their finance group. They are growing. They're going viral. And if you would like to have the same access to the type of caliber candidates they're hiring, let me know, and I'll help you with your recruiting needs. Boom,
really?
Got a job
help,
order.
You'll work with competitors. Is that the case?
Absolutely, unless we have an exclusive agreement. But Radiant never gave me any retained search. You know, if they gave you retained, it would be different. You know?
Well,
and it wasn't like I was sourcing out of Radiant for S2. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't source out of a client for another client. No way.
Uh-huh. But the thing is, then you have to leave some part of the territory to other recruiters so you can use those companies as sources, right?
Well, unfortunately, Animal, not every company wants to work with third-party recruiter. So
okay.
I have lots of places to source from.
Okay, well, you just went to the main competition. So, Jenny, we're running out of time. Is there anything that I've missed that, you know, hot tips that you really want to play it forward to the other recruiters, the millions of recruiters listening to this show?
The hottest tips I have right now is one from John Bryant, and I totally agree with him. He right now is working at Booz Allen Hamilton. He owns his own firm in Atlanta. John gave me a tip on LinkedIn that I didn't think about it. I've been doing it, but he really explained it to me. LinkedIn groups is amazing. Two reasons. In a LinkedIn group, you can send an email to anybody within the group. You do not have to be connected with them. So the group connects you. So as a recruiter, if there's specific candidates I'm looking for or clients I'm trying to attract, I'm going to join the groups where those people are. Now, I joined 9/11, Never Forget, and don't get me wrong, I'm not passionate about it, but I'm not because I'm limited to 50 groups now, there's some groups I can't be involved in because they're not attracting me candidates or clients.
One guy posted on a recruiting blog, though.
What? Jerry, I'm waiting for you, please. We're almost out of time.
Hey, something just came on. Just gave me a weird message. There's one guy posted on recruiting blogs that LinkedIn, if they catch you doing that now, they will shut your account off. Did you guys read that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I think it's the method you're going to do it, right? If your email, it's LinkedIn etiquette, which, Animal, you need to have a whole entire show on LinkedIn etiquette because I'm sure you'd have a bunch of people calling in on it because there's so many pet peeves I have now about LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So I just think it's the way you do it. I mean, I don't need to use that source. I'm going to find the company's main number, and I'm going to call that person directly. And I'm going to tell them I have 13,000 first-level contacts. You know, you're referred to me through my LinkedIn network. I'm not going to really probably tell them the group aspect, but I will use it as a way of finding them in the first place.
Right, so you don't use the email function you were just touting a minute ago, right? Yes or no?
I'm saying you can use it.
Listen, the reason I'm cutting you off, Jenny, I want to give you some praise before I let you go. We got 1 minute left. You've been a great guest. I know I didn't give you a chance to relax and have fun. I grilled you. But you know what? You gave us a lot of clear tips. You told us exactly the words you use. That's very important. You took my give and take with you. You did speak in some generalities. You were a bit slippery, but all guests do that. So I want to thank you, Jenny. You rarely get a pass for this show. Does everybody agree with me?
One of your best guests lately.
Wow, lately.
Oh, thanks,
you know,
Jerry.
That's, what kind of qualification is that? And he's your friend. Everybody want to say anything to Jenny before she goes? Or, Jenny, do you have anything to say to your fans out there in Twitter land?
Oh, I'm sure those people are few. But connect with me via LinkedIn because I will help you with any introduction any way that I can.
Okay, and your name on it's Jay Devon, right?
It's
or Jenny D.
Jenny
D. I like that, Jenny D. Well, Jenny D.
Animal,
sorry,
I'd like to hug your inner child and bid
farewell. Yeah, I got a
okay,
feeling.
Well,
when was the last time you cried? You're gonna help my inner child. Do you want to wreck my show? Is that what you're up to, Jenny? You got kids. If you want to be a mother, get up at 6 in the morning. Spend a little more time with them. What time do you go to bed?
Oh, I go to bed late, probably
like
midnight, 12:30.
Midnight, 12:30. Okay, Jenny, have a nice time for the rest of the day. Everybody, thank you for coming on.
Bye, Jenny.
Bye, Jerry. Bye, Eric.
Show.
Bye, Nick. Bye, everyone that participated.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Nick.